You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Hey, man, look, it's around that time of the year, man. It's getting cold, y'all. It's getting cold. Look, Halloween just it just passed us by. I've been away for a little bit here, but hope everybody, you know, enjoyed Halloween parties and trick or treating if you have kids. Any costume parties that you had? I know we had a costume party at work. My team didn't win the costume contest, unfortunately. Kind of upset about that. Think it was some politics involved, but it's all good. We're going to get them next time. But, yeah, man, look, it's getting cold outside, y'all. I walked out to my car the other day. It was 30 degrees in the morning. I was like, dang, man. And, you know, I kind of got in my car, just started it and just kind of took off. I need to do a better job of giving myself some extra time to actually like warm the car up. I don't know if I'm the only one, if it's just me, but you know, raise your hand, you know, wherever you are, wherever you're listening right now, if you're that type of person that gives yourself just enough time to get out the door and get in the car, started and take off, but not give yourself enough time to really warm your car up. It's okay. You know, I can't see your hands and nobody else can see your hands. Unless you sit next to somebody or you riding with somebody listening to this right now. But, hey, man, we'll do better. I'll do better. Give ourselves some time to warm up our cars, man, because, you know, like I said, this is that time where you get your tire pressure warnings are coming on and all of that stuff. So definitely make sure y'all are paying attention to that. Don't just hop in the car and take off. Check everything, man. Just make sure everything is all well when it comes to the vehicle. And look, hey, it's okay to cut the heat on, y'all. You don't got to sleep under the fan. You don't got to keep the AC on. It's okay. It's that time where you can cut some heat on. You don't got to put it on 80. You know, you can cut the heat on, you know, toast it up a little bit, warm up the spot a little bit, knock off the chill so you don't get sick. Wake up in the morning with your nose stopped up and all kind of stuff. But let me focus. Let me get back to the outline, because I could go on and on about that, man. Don't want to get distracted, man, because we got some stuff that we need to talk about, man. There's some crazy stuff going on in the sports world right now. I hope y'all been paying attention to it, man, because I sure have. It seems like each and every day, man, something new is popping up in front of our faces, right before our eyes. Developing stories just ongoing, man. But I just want to kick things off, man, in the college football world, because there's a story that's going on right now that is really gained a lot of focus, has picked up a lot of traction, has surfaced a lot of information. I'll just keep it at that. A lot of information that is just continuing to grow and grow deeper and deeper and deeper, you know? I'm talking about what's going on with Michigan. If y'all haven't been paying attention to what's going on with the Michigan football program, I advise you to go read up on this. Google Michigan football cheating scandal, whatever. If you even Google Michigan football, it'll bring it up. But question here with Big Ten is, you know, should the Big Ten commissioner take action against Michigan as soon as possible? So let me just give you all a little background information on what's going on at Michigan. So there, like I said, there's a lot of information that's been surfacing about their football program over the last few weeks, actually. They have they're currently involved in a huge cheating allegations, a huge scandal in regards to sign stealing. So that means, you know, going to, I don't know if you've ever, those of you who already know what I'm talking about, just bear with me. I'm just trying to explain. If you're ever watching a football game and you see them holding up signs on the sidelines, if the camera angle is wide enough, you'll see they might have a picture of, you know, they have like these big cards, right? Big cardboard, they'll have like big cardboard that they'll show up to like the quarterback in the whole offense, right? And they'll have different pictures on them. I don't even necessarily know if it's cardboard, but I'm just saying cardboard. And they'll have a sign, and it might have like a bunny on it. It might have a carrot, some corn, and an apple, and they might stand for something, you know, something specific. So what Michigan was doing was they were pretty much stealing these signs, and not stealing the signs physically, but actually going and observing what these different signs mean during the game. So there's a Michigan analyst for Michigan, the football analyst, Connor Stallions. He's been at the center of this investigation. So he was actually caught on camera on the sidelines of Central Michigan for their season opener against Michigan State, where he was actually wearing, check this out, y'all. He was wearing Central Michigan apparel on their sidelines, caught on video. I don't know if you guys seen this video yet, but it's crazy. He has like shades on. He even looks suspicious, like peeking, you know, left and right, trying to see what's going on. It's crazy. Don't even know how he got this apparel to put on, Central Michigan stuff, or the badge that he received as somebody who could come on the sidelines of Central Michigan. Like, that hasn't even been talked about yet. So there's also a record of Stallions purchasing tickets to 12 of Michigan's 13 Big Ten opponents over the past 3 years. Now, he had been suspended, but as of recent, he was actually fired. Fired is what they said, right? But check this out. It even gets better. He was not fired. It was initially reported that he was fired. He was not fired. He actually resigned from his position at Michigan. So that's two different things, right? I mean, it's still, the guilt is there. If they fired him, they're admitting guilt. If he resigns, that's still showing that the program is guilty, because now you're in a situation where, you know, he didn't feel like he should be suspended. I don't want to say he didn't feel like he was suspended, and I'm pretty sure that made him feel some type of way, especially because they were the ones that told him to go do it, and they paid him to go do it. And he did it, and now they're trying to make it seem like it was just all on him. So I can understand where his frustration would be coming from, and not to condone what he did, because he knew that it was wrong and went ahead and did it anyway. So there is repercussions and consequences for each and every one of our actions. So I definitely get it, and I understand. Now, the Big Ten athletic directors actually met with the commissioner, Tony Petitti. They were on a video call on Thursday. And this was without the athletic director Ward Manuel from Michigan, right? So the athletic directors, the other ones out of the Big Ten, they actually expressed their concerns. And however, they were reportedly left the call with the notion that Petitti, he's actually going to be taking, you know, this ability to punish Michigan more serious than he was the last couple weeks. So he didn't actually discuss like punishments with the athletic directors in the Big Ten, but he did explain that, you know, he's speaking with the NCAA about the matter, and he's taking it serious, like I said. Now, there are ongoing conversations and deeper discussions to be had moving forward, so we'll continue to watch this. But the question about should Michigan be punished? 100%. 100%. Michigan should be punished. Michigan should be disqualified from being in the college football playoff. And that may sound crazy to a lot of people, but I think that they should be disqualified from being able to participate in the college football playoff. You're talking about an organization that is cheating. First of all, you're cheating over the past 3 years and you haven't even won a national championship. So let's start there. At least if you're going to cheat, then at least win. I'm not condoning cheating, but you're cheating and you're not even winning national championships. You're cheating and you're getting smacked in the first round of the college football playoff by an SEC team. Like, what are y'all doing? What are we doing here? You know, what's going on? So, you know, the information is clear. The evidence is there that they were cheating. So I don't understand what the holdup is with their commissioner in the Big Ten. But he is going to have to make a decision soon because Michigan can't possibly be the team that's one of the teams that's going to represent the Big Ten in a college football playoff if it got to that point with these allegations and which are surfacing to be true, that they were cheating to get to where they are today. You just cannot turn a blind eye to that and allow that to happen. I don't care, you know. And it's almost as if, you know, the commissioner, they want two big teams to be in the running, so they're going to try to ignore this until the season's over. But it's like, no, when you get in that national spotlight, imagine being in a situation where Michigan is sitting there on the cusp of going into a college football playoff and participating in, you know, a college football national championship this year. When in reality, they were doing a whole bunch of sign stealing and stuff that helped them get there. So I don't know, man. I think the commissioner is taking too long with this. A decision needs to be made, and it needs to be made fast. But I do think that Michigan should be disqualified from being able to be a part of the college football playoff. And that's just how I think. And that's just how, I mean, that was just my thoughts about it, you know. And just to hear, you know, people like Desmond Howard, who is a Michigan alum and went to Michigan, obviously won a Heisman, to say that, you know, and come to their defense and say that, oh, like if it was any other Big Ten coach, you wouldn't want your program to be, you know, treated this way. And it's like, well, no. And he was trying to make a point that they shouldn't be punished right now until they have all the facts. The facts are the facts. The facts are out there already. We've seen them. We've seen video. There's proof. I mean, there's nothing else more that we really need to see. So I get that he went to Michigan, but trying to stick up for them in this situation, it's like, what can you do? There's nothing we can say. There's nothing that we can, no gesture that we can do to condone this. So, yeah, I do think Michigan is in trouble, and I do think that it'll become a distraction over time. But moving on, man, let's talk college football playoff rankings, because the new rankings are released, and these are the official rankings, people, for the college football playoff per the committee. So we've been seeing the AP poll over these past few weeks, from the beginning of the season through up until this point in time. And now I know we're used to the rankings being released at around 2 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Now that's going to transition to each and every single Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The new rankings will be revealed, so we'll get an idea of where we'll know where everyone is positioned. So we already had the first rankings. So just wanted to quickly go over those and give you thoughts and opinions there. So obviously we have Michigan at number one. Not Michigan. I apologize. We have Ohio State at number one. You have UGA at two, Michigan at three, Florida State four, Washington five, Oregon six, Texas seven, Bama eight, Oklahoma nine, and Ole Miss is 10. So looking at that right there, you have three teams in the SEC, in the Big Ten, in the SEC in the top 10. And, you know, you have two Big Ten teams. You got two Pac-12 teams, an ACC team, and you got a Big 12 team. So pretty fairly represented across the board. Had we already had the transition already, it would be five teams in the SEC because of Oklahoma and Texas. But yeah, I think that with Oklahoma having, you know, Ohio State beating number seven Penn State and number nine Notre Dame, that gives them two top 10 wins. Those were, you know, collectively the best wins. And so that's why Ohio State ultimately got the number one spot. Do I think that they're the number one team in the country? No, I don't. But I just knew and felt that what the committee was going to do would be to put, you know, them up there at the number one spot. Georgia, best win is number 20 Kentucky. They're not even ranked right now. But, you know, they dominated Florida, but still their strength of schedule is low. So I think that, you know, a lot of people are assuming that just because they won back to back, that means they're automatically should be number one. And I don't think that that's true at this point in time. Michigan, they dominated opponents, but they have zero top 25 wins. And I don't even know if an opponent that they play actually has a winning record right now. Florida State, they beat number five LSU and number 16 Duke. So two top 25 wins there. And Washington beat number eight Oregon. So looking ahead to big matchups, you have some huge matchups this weekend. I'm going to focus on five. Number 23 Kansas State versus number seven Texas. Number 12 Mizzou at number two Georgia. Number nine Oklahoma at number 22 Oklahoma State. Number five Washington at number 20 USC. And number 14 LSU at number eight Alabama. So with those, you know, I definitely will give you my picks later on in the show before we get out of here. But those are my games of the week to watch. A lot of good football, man. Now moving on, man. Wimbyana, however you say his name, but I'm gonna call him Wimby. He shined in the fourth quarter versus the Suns last night. He actually finished with 38 points, 10 rebounds, in a 132-121 win. He had 10 points, was 4-4 from the field goal percentage, 3-4 from free throw, 1-3 from 3-point, all in the first quarter. Wimby is 15-19 in fourth quarters this season. And 78.9% is what he's from the field. It's the best in the NBA right now. And his 30 points are tied for third most scored by a rookie in Spurs history. So that's crazy. And then you have, I don't know, a guy like Wimby, man, he's just unbelievable. Unbelievable talent, unbelievable length, unbelievable the way that he's able to stretch the floor. I don't know how you'd be able to stop it, but, you know, we'll see. I got confidence in my guys. But let's move on, man. Let's shift gears because we got some more stuff in the NFL that's going on. And that is one of Tyreek Hill actually going to be facing the Kansas City Chiefs for the first time after being traded to the Miami Dolphins. So, question is, like, how will Hill perform? Do you think he will shine, or do you think he'll fold under pressure? So for me, let's just backtrack and look at the Chiefs and the Dolphins comparisons when Tyreek Hill was on the team. So the Chiefs have played 91 games, Dolphins 25, target share 21%, which was 24th in the league, 31% right now with the Dolphins, which is third. Receiving yards per game, he has 72, which was 13th. With the Dolphins, he has 109, which is first. 40-yard dash, touchdown score, 28 is first for him in the Chiefs. And he has 8 with the Dolphins, and that's first. Receiving touchdowns, he had 56, which was third in the nation. In 15, which is fifth in the nation right now. And then yards after catch, a little over 2,400, 10th place. And then you got 864 in fourth place. So, I think that, you know, looking at these stats for each, him being at the Chiefs and the Dolphins, it's like, hey, you know, he's putting up some crazy numbers, but you could say that, you know, in these few games with the Dolphins, he's been extremely efficient. I mean, in 25 games with the Dolphins, I mean, he's accumulated more yards than he did during any 25-game span with the Chiefs. And he spent six seasons with the Chiefs. He also leads the NFL with eight touchdowns, at least, you know, 40 yards over that span. Became the fourth player since 1961 to eclipse 1,000 receiving yards through eight games. Dolphins, they're first in offensive points and yardage. And they haven't led in both of those categories since Don Shula and Dan Marino did it in 1984. The Chiefs are fourth in yards allowed per game at 287, but the Dolphins are first in yards per game at 453. So Chiefs have not played seen an offense like Miami yet, and I expect Tyreek Hill to have a big day. I'm predicting over 100 yards in a receiving and two touchdowns for Tyreek Hill against his former team. And then last but not least, let's talk college football game day picks. I'm going to quickly run through these and give you guys my picks here. So number 23, Kansas State, and number 7, Texas. Texas is without Quinn Ewers. I know they got a guy that's stepping in. That's about 6'7", 200-something pounds, solid quarterback, but I'm going to take Kansas State, number 23, Kansas State, with the upset in this one in a close game. We got number 12, Mizzou, at number 2, Georgia. Georgia obviously looked shaky at times, but they've been able to come alive and, you know, put some things together. Still not impressed with what they did against Florida, because you should be doing that to an opponent that's inferior to you. So we'll see how they respond and act when Missouri comes to town. Offense and a team that is playing inspired football right now, especially, you know, trying to get to the SEC championship game in this run that's going on in the East. But I'm picking Georgia in this one. I just think that, you know, at home, it's a different ball game with them. So we'll see if Mizzou can prove me wrong, but I'll pick Georgia in this one. Number 9, Oklahoma, and number 22, Oklahoma State. I have Oklahoma State in this one. I just don't trust Oklahoma offensively and defensively. It's just very inconsistent. And so that's why I'm going with OK State. Number 5, Washington, and number 20, USC. I'm going to go with number 20, USC. I know Washington has looked bad these past couple weeks. He hasn't been as efficient. Stanford gave them a run for their money the other night. And then a week prior to that, you had some issues as well against Arizona State at home, and when they very well could have lost that game. So I'm giving number 20 USC, who also, they don't have a defense, but at the same time, at least they do have an offense that can actually challenge this team. And then last but not least, man, number 14 LSU and number 8 Alabama. I'm picking Alabama, of course. I'm rolling with my tide. I think that, you know, There's a lot at stake in this game, and you can win the SEC West with the win in this game. I think that, you know, a lot of people talking about Jaden Daniels in his passing attack, but I do think that Alabama is going to have enough and have what it takes to be able to contain Jaden, not let him break too much out of the pocket too much, I should say, and bring in some of our guys that we know are going to make plays and are going to, you know, leave it all out there. So excited. That's all I got for y'all, but I cannot wait. I'm actually, forgot to tell y'all this, man. I'm hitting the road, going to Alabama to Tuscaloosa this morning. So y'all say a prayer for me while I'm on this road, but I can't wait to get to T-Town and hang with all my folks, all my people, and watch Alabama take on LSU and in hopes to securing this SEC West, man. So, hey, look, be blessed, y'all. Enjoy the weekend. I'll be back next week. Peace. We out. And look, I can't leave the show without saying, Roll Tide. Let's go.